Hey, Christopher, how you doing?
Hey, I'm so excited to be back with you again, James.
Number five, all in the family.
I think this is a tragedy to me that people don't know what this sitcom is about or what it is. There's a man in there who, on today's standards, is just unbelievably racist and almost seems evil. But the way they portray him, it's a look at, and in a humorous way, blue-collar America during the 70s.
Yeah, I think superficially, I mean, he's got some problems, some deep-seated problems, but I think most of what looks to be evil about him is more superficially just saying or doing the wrong thing. Well, not necessarily not intentionally, but just not with the intention that people want to assign
right.
to it. And it is a fantastic battle between the young hippie and the old working guy.
And I think it's the relationship between these subject matters, like you said, between these different generations, is something that's happening right now today. And
yeah, I don't know if this holds up. I think it would be, this is a show that was worth watching today to see if it does hold
up. I do.
And to see, yeah, okay, there you go.
Late 70s.
Early 70s to late 70s. Again, let me be clear.
All the 70s. Let's just face it. It was all the 70s.
Yeah, I know, but it starts in the early 70s. As I said, okay. It's the mid to late 70s where TV starts to fall down. When the good shows of the early 70s start to age out is when they're replaced with crap.
If you have young people in the house, I do not recommend them watching these reruns with them. Besides the racist, sexist things that go on and the homophobia that goes on, there's a couple episodes that are quite gruesome. At least they were when I watched it. Someone gets raped in one of the episodes.
I wouldn't shy away from it though. I think
it's pretty heavy.
As I remember it though, the content was worth engaging young people with, so because you can't shield them. I think if you can engage them without being grotesque about it and being honest and in a way that raises their awareness, you got to do it somehow. And this may be better than most.
Anyway,
of course,
great show. Yes.
The next series we're going to talk about doesn't really have those problems.
No, and I think it's in the perfect spot. This is where Rolling Stones really did a good job, especially at this top end.
And you can watch this with your 3-year-old or your 8-year-old mother.
Yes, and we're talking about I Love Lucy. I remember, because I'm a Three Stooges fan because I have an interesting sense of humor. I remember seeing her as a young person in a few of these movies.
I think you have a very broad sense of humor. I think, you know, don't understand. No. You love slapstick, but you love Bob Newhart, too. And those are kind of on the opposite ends.
Yeah,
you like the slapstick
enough.
And you love the dry humor. So give yourself some credit.
I Love Lucy is iconic. I don't think there's much to say about it. Everybody, there's so much to say about it. And we could go 3 hours on just I Love Lucy. But it's in the right spot. It's number four.
I mean, there's not much to say about it other than, again, it's just so easy to watch. It's probably one of the most watchable shows of all time. And when I think about it, the one image that will always be burned in my brain is her shoving chocolates into her
candy.
Mouth.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Because she can't keep up with the machine. Oh, just one funny fact, right? How does Star Trek wind up on this list?
What number was it?
Well, it's not. Lucille Ball and her company Desilu
yes.
was the producers for Star Trek because no one else would produce it.
That's true.
Just throwing some stupid nerd trivia.
I know Desi Arnaz gets a lot of crap because of his marital habits. But the fact is, great producer, let Lucy do things from time to time on her own. He produced amazing shows. A lot of shows that people watch now don't even realize they're watching a Desnes show. He produced great television. Curious question for you. Out of 100 episodes that Rolling Stones had, they chose only one television show that was filmed in color and presented it to us in black and white. And that is... Number three, Seinfeld. Why is that?
What?
Yeah.
Filmed in color and presented in black and white. What are you talking about?
When you look at the Rolling Stones and they have a picture for each.
I don't know. I didn't even look at that.
Why did they do black and white? It's a color show. Were they trying to make it seem like it was classic? Was there some kind of favoritism? I have no idea. This belongs at number three, definitely. But I don't get the black and white thing. Are they trying to make it seem?
I don't know why you're even focusing on that. Just relax. It doesn't matter.
Well, because I'm trying to get behind the psychology of the Rolling Stones.
Okay,
they've done
you know
such
what
a great
I'll
job.
Tell you, I'll tell you what this is. You know why it's black and white?
Yeah.
It's probably someone behind the scenes taking a film shot, like a still shot.
Doesn't make any sense.
So don't. This is the dumbest thing to talk about. Yeah. Okay. So we're at number three, Seinfeld, and all you can talk about is how the caption picture
is in black and white. I think this is a good list, and for them to do these little sneaky, like, look, it's black and white. It's classic.
No,
it's ridiculous.
You know what? You're dead on. We're talking about a stupid thing about a stupid show that is about nothing, which is brilliant and should be at number three.
You do believe it should be at number three?
I just said that. I just realized how clever you were being at talking about something really dumb and unimportant about a show that is dumb and unimportant, and that's why it's genius. So you, I'm saying, basically, you're a genius, and I didn't realize it. I'm sorry.
Well, thanks.
So we agree. We're totally in agreement with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole relationship between Jerry and George never gets old.
I can see it somewhere in the top 10.
It reminds me of a violins or a quartet. You have a cello. You have a viola and you have two violins, and without all four parts, it just doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Hey, Cheers. We're almost done. Oh, God, Cheers. Number two.
Why Cheers is top two. Why top two?
Is this a typo?
What was so great about the writing in Cheers to make it top two?
I don't know. I mean, I remember being, I was not a big fan as most people were, primarily because Ted Danson, until recently, like all of his earlier work kind of always rubbed me the wrong way. It's just, you know, you don't get on with all actors, and he just always kind of irritated me a little bit. So I guess I never was into Cheers. There were brilliant parts of Cheers. I would think it's definitely a top 100 just because of the characters and Frasier comes out of it.
I think they should move this down to 11 and bump all the rest up.
That still seems really high to me.
The thing is we got to talk about these cliche relationships. They beat the heck out of it. But the thing was, it was the bar people that made this show what it was. Because drinking class of America, which is a huge class, this was very culturally appealing. It touched them. We all know people in bars, and for the drinking America, sometimes you just need a break and a nice place where you can go away from work, away from the family, a lot of people could relate to.
You know, this should have been on our Heatstroke podcast, because on that episode we were talking about great intros.
Yeah.
And that said, the article, the top 100 article, actually talks about Cheers being, it's the first show where they really played up this idea of will they, won't they relationship. Will the waitress who gets stranded there and the bartender, will they ever get together? And, you know, they seem like there's a lot of sexual tension, which I always found to be really tedious. But also, that's not the first time I saw it. And I remember it from Remington Steele. And I'm sure that's probably not even the first time it shows up. So I think they're judging this because they don't remember the rest of TV history. Simpsons number one.
I truly believe Rolling Stones is an American magazine. The Simpsons needs to be at number one. It's a huge show, culturally, dynamically, as far as the family dynamics. Every single thing is there that's a sitcom. The fact that it's animated has nothing to do with it. It has great writers. The show has become a little stale lately, and I get that, but that matter. When you have a show this long and it's been filling an empty spot for 30 years... I mean, what else can you put on a Sunday night that people are going to watch anyways? The Simpsons is a great, great show. I think it's not always easy to watch, but usually easy to watch.
Genuinely surprised to see Simpsons at number one. It seems like a great show. Obviously, it has a lot of longevity. I just don't. And it's probably a good choice for number one. It's just that a lot of the other shows had more impact on me and seem more interesting. But that's not necessarily what makes number one. Staying power is one thing, and just the amount of content. I mean, South Park references this. It's the Simpsons effect. They say Simpsons did it. You know, one of the guys' kids goes crazy, one of the episodes, trying to do something new, and they're always this, one of the kids that pops up and said, Simpsons did it. It's like, well, let's go to space with pigs or something and have them do, fly backwards through their anuses. Simpsons did it.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you do, the Simpsons
did it.
That's
true.
So it basically encompasses everything else that has come before and everything else will come after. I guess it is the all-encompassing. We don't even need a top 100. We just need The Simpsons.
Before The Simpsons came out, and when Simpsons started lasting long, people used to make a lot of references to the cartoon, The Flintstones. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, adults used to use The Flintstones as a reference. Not anymore.
To some degree. I mean, Betty is still Betty.
Who doesn't love Betty?
I love Betty. We've done the top 100. Why are we still podcasting, Christopher?
Because I'm kind of interested in discussing the opposite of what the show is about. Not what's popular, but what is not popular, according to Rolling Stone magazine. I think you and I disagree with a couple of the choices that should have been added.
I actually made a list of things that I should be added.
Let us hear your list.
So this is what I did. I went through the list, and I found six shows on the list that I think should not be on the list. And so I found six replacements for them.
Okay.
And I think the top three that I have are indisputable.
Okay.
It should be on the list.
Let's hear it.
And then it goes down from there. These three should definitely be on the list, and it's mind-boggling if they're not. Archer.
They didn't seem to like Cable that much.
It's such a brilliant show. Well, they brought stuff from the UK, so I don't think they can...
I agree with you. Archer should have been on there. Especially even if they threw it at the bottom. Some of those they shows at the bottom. Archer is so well written, great voice actors. But my question to you is, was it a sitcom?
Yes. No question about it.
They had Get Smart on there, didn't they?
What's that?
They had Get Smart.
Yeah. But how is it not a comedy?
No, I'm agreeing with you that they had Get Smart. They should have had Archer.
Oh, I don't think it has anything to do with Get Smart. I just think that completely on its own merit, there's no way to look at it as A, not being a sitcom, and B, not being one of the most important sitcoms, or best, just flat out best sitcoms. And this would contend for the top 10, in my opinion. The next one, Third Rock from the Sun? Did they just not remember this show?
I know. And I when we were talking about Big Bang, I was feeling, I can't believe they forgot this show. It was about an alien from another planet.
What, aliens? Brilliant show. And something from the UK, if we're going to bring stuff over from the UK, and I don't know how to pronounce this. I don't know if it's called the It Crowd or the IT Crowd, and I think that's part of
the joke. That is a really good show. I don't know if it should have been on the top 100, only because it had a very small audience. The humor would only appeal to a small group of people. I think Rolling Stones was looking for broad audience appeal.
I disagree with that. First of all, they said best. They didn't say most popular. They said best. This is the list of the best sitcoms of all time.
Okay.
And I also disagree that this does not have broad appeal, because I love it, my son loves it, and my wife love it. So those are three different people, and I'm trying to put my fingers up. Those are three people who all love the show. And you can be a nerd and like it, but, you know, Jen, one of the main characters, is the anti-nerd. She doesn't know anything about it.
Right.
And so there's a lot of office in it, and there's a lot of tech in it, and there's just a lot of... Yeah, so it's really not that tech-oriented.
No, just the opposite. They're kind of making fun of that. They didn't like the show. They didn't like the fact that they were making fun of what's popular right now, which is the geek is cool.
I don't know. It's inexplicable to me how this doesn't get on the list. Like I said, I mean,
yeah,
the
maybe
shows,
they
like,
could have swapped out one of those British shows for this one.
Well, like I didn't make a list of the six that I wanted to take off, but like I said, I found six. And so those are the three that I think should be unquestionably on it. The next three, we can argue about. And that being Northern Exposure, which certainly didn't get a lot of exposure and wasn't a very necessarily popular show, but it was a huge show for its time, and the critics loved it. And
well,
it was
once
to be
again,
a
this is
success.
Rolling Stones magazine. Popularity is going to be part of the best.
Yeah, I can understand being part of the best, but also shouldn't you just look at things that are completely weird and different and explore new areas?
Don't disagree with you, but I understand why they didn't make the list.
Another UK show... The Inbetweeners, this is top 50 in my mind. And then another American show, Psych?
No, I don't know.
No, you don't like that one?
It's like a 70s show. I like the 70s shows you didn't like. I think that fits into that category.
Now I have an ongoing list of other shows that probably should have been on this list, but I'm not as robust a defender of them. Are you ready for this one? Gilligan's Island.
That should have made it.
Yeah,
I do not understand why it didn't make it. It was... just as funny as the other shows on there. It was iconic as far as culturally important. There's a lot of Gilligan references to this day.
Very popular.
The only thing I think that's holding it back, it only had one good actor.
Did it matter?
No. They're all great character actors. But I think part of the, when you said it was best, right? Well, part of best is having good actors. And Bob Denver was the only guy on that show that could act. The rest of them were just character actors.
If you say so. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't understand the difference between a character actor and actor. If you portray the role that you're hired to portray and you do a good job on it, who cares if you can only do that?
No, I hear you. But the thing is, an actor should be a little more versatile. Meaning, like, for example, a lot of people say John Wayne, which I disagree, was a character actor. He played one character in more movies than any other actor ever and probably ever will be. But can he go on Broadway? I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Well, hot on the heels of Gilligan's Island is a very not. It doesn't seem like a similar show, but it seems it has a lot of the same traits, and that would be Happy Days.
Happy Days should have been on there too. I mean, absolutely. The reason why I think Happy Days is, once again, great actors. You had great writing. It was iconic. It captured. It was mostly funny, but you know, it dealt with the hardships of being a teenager.
I'm not saying this is a top 10 kind of thing, but I, you know, top not to make the top 100
top
seems
50.
A little bit
top
odd to
50.
Me.
Got to be Happy Days.
And the next one, I am not a fan of this show, but leaving this one off seems almost like someone's got a grudge against someone because it seems really popular, and that would be Family
we
Guy.
We were talking about should cartoons be included. My first thought was yes, and Family Guy's not there. I think they didn't like the language. The language is a little crude. One of the episodes that sticks out in my mind is another reason why it might not have made it is Elmer Fudd took an axe and chopped up Bugs Bunny into a million pieces and then took him to the spit to go eat, which was a more likely situation since he did have a gun and an axe. I sound like Elmer Fudd when I'm laughing.
And then Charlie Brown? Nothing from Charlie Brown?
But that's not a sitcom, is it?
Okay, that might be a fair point. American Dad, which is another... it's funny that I didn't like Family Guy, but American Dad, who is from the same people, I love that show. Another cartoon, but, you know, seems like it could have made the list. The next one is more of an indie-type thing. It's called Eastbound and Down. Did you ever see that?
Oh, you know, I watched... That was on cable, right?
I don't remember, probably FX or something like that.
I watched an episode. I thought it was a good show. I don't know if it makes the top 100.
Fair enough. The next one, though, is probably the most contentious. I'm glad they didn't have it on the list, but in the comments on this article, this is the one that people are genuinely outraged didn't make the list. Can you guess what that might be? Married with Children.
Oh, right. Honestly, I didn't even think of it.
Well, maybe it doesn't deserve to be in the top 100 then.
Well, that's interesting. That was a pretty big-time show, and it was almost making fun of the other show that was actually on there, which is Family...
Family Ties?
No, Family...
No. All in the Family. You think it was making fun of All in the Family?
A little bit.
I never got that vibe.
I don't know why it didn't make it or it did not make it. It seems peculiar to me.
I'm glad that it didn't make the list. I remember when it came out, the first season, I thought it was pretty funny. I thought, you know, it was off the wall, not off the wall, but it was different. It was a bit more crude and it was different.
How often do you have teenagers ripping each other apart, which happens in so many families?
As I was saying, it starts off pretty funny, but then it just gets worse and worse and worse. It gets more crude over time.
Yes.
To the point where the young teenage girl, every time she comes on stage, she gets catcalled.
Yeah, wasn't
audience.
That weird? And then I almost felt it wasn't appropriate because she's a teenager.
It was gross. I mean, it was kind of like Roseanne. It's trying to show you like the nitty gritty real American life, but in the most base kind of way. And it gets just more gross and gross over the season. And they just start pandering to the lowest common denominator of American society. And by the end of it, it feels like it's just a pole dance.
Well, that's funny you say that, because when I watched that show, it reminds me. Do you remember that talk show that where they used to have the fighting Jerry Springer? It reminds me of that show where people are going to watch the show so they can see bad behavior in the worst way.
That is a great call. Yeah, him and Geraldo were kind of the lowest common denominators when it came to talk shows. And this is what... Married with Children was for network comedies. All right, I got just a couple more, if you're ready for it. Yeah, I don't know if this should make it or not, but Home Improvement at least deserves consideration.
Yeah, Tim did a good job on that show. I don't know. It could have made it, could not have made it. It's just...
Yeah.
Like, you got to remember, just one of the something ones that... about... It's got to be kind of cool, too. Rolling Stone, I think, picked stuff that at some level was cool. I think there was too many mom and dads that liked that show.
Not enough Rolling Stone in it. Okay. Benson, you know, not a great show, but it had some great moments and had some great aspects to it and it had some great.
Yeah,
talent.
Benson is taking a lot of heat because of the Black Lives Matter movement. That show is perceived as a subservient black man, which makes no sense because it basically shows a black man working himself up to being the top lieutenant for the governor. I don't get that part, but that I think that's why it didn't make it.
He starts as the butler and then winds up as, I don't know, was it lieutenant governor? He starts like, you know, basically running the state.
Yeah. Yeah, he is running the state, which I don't quite understand. Okay.
The only other thing that's worth mentioning, it's a show I like, so maybe I'm being too nostalgic about it. It probably doesn't need to be on the top 100, but Mad About You was a show that I remember fondly. Maybe it's not as good as I remember it. Certainly not an important show, but a good show.
I wouldn't put it in the big popular area there. I remember I saw that first episode when I was in San Francisco in a hotel room waiting for the next day to go to a meeting.
Wow.
And there was a show and I'm sitting there watching it with my girlfriend, who is now my wife. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. As far as the Rolling Stones top 100, I'm going to go ahead and say overall, they did a great job. I think if you are into popular culture and you look at this list, I think you'll be quite pleased.
I'm going to say they did a good job. It's a hard job. You know, you're going to have haters come in and tear you apart no matter what. But like I said at the beginning, surprisingly enough, I thought generally I don't have that many problems with it. I mean, there's some things that really set me off, but generally speaking, I thought it was pretty good.
So I'm giving this episode of Rolling Stone Magazine 2 thumbs up.
I can't give it 2. I can give it barely 1. I mean, I can give it a good 1 thumbs up, but you know, having New Girl on there but not Third Rock from the Sun. Come
okay.
on.
Okay. All right, I'm giving it 3 thumbs up for this episode of Rolling Stones.
Wow. That seems higher than it should be. But okay, hey guys. I had no idea how long that was going to take.
Right.
I apologize.
We'll talk soon. Hey James.
Thank you for
listening. Had a lot of fun talking about this, and let's talk about something new next week.
Yes, something newer.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye, James.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
PopSub Podcast has been brought to you by Markers in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact PopSub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Life getting you down? Is your head always drooping towards the floor? And then seeing your horrible floor just makes you feel that much worse? What to do? Don't change you. That's too much work. Change your floor instead. Go Rageous Flooring has happy, sunny, exciting, rejuvenating flooring. They make flooring fun again. Woohoo! Go Rageous Flooring. For when you just can't bear to look at your old, horrible floor anymore. You'll be so happy. You won't ever look at your floor again. Whoopee. That's GoRageousFlooring.com. GoRageousFlooring. GoRageous.com.